Join us as we place the spotlight on the Government Technical Institute. We invite you to accompany us on a journey as we seek information on the operations and programs at GTI. Opening its doors in May 1951 in temporary accommodation in the Queen's College compound, the institution, 2 months after, moved to Nonpareil Park in Georgetown, commonly called Wilfrid Avenue. The Government Technical Institute at that time was tasked with providing training in craft skills, but over time, technical courses were introduced with diploma-level programs being added as well. 38 courses were being offered on full-time, day release, and evening basis. The premier learning technical institute in the nation over time has had to adjust its courses and programs in keeping with the rapid changes in industry and technical fields to be able to facilitate the programs of a fast-growing Guyana job market and its demands. In this series of conversations, we will speak with some of the lecturers of departments to capture the transformation and development taking place in the Guyana technical landscape from GTI's perspective. We will now hear from the lecturers of the Building Department. Building Management Lecturer, Wayne Brown. Building Management Technical Program, Gary Eiffel. Plumbing Lecturer, Alicia Dudnot. General Construction Lecturer, John Burke.
The BM class that I teach, I normally teach the Construction Management. Construction Management is where we would basically teach the students to manage a work site. Right, teach them how they should operate with their staff, because in the civil engineering class, those students will be the engineers, and the engineers are normally the persons who are in charge. So you want to ensure that they have good knowledge on how to manage, good knowledge on how to communicate with their staff, and everything that goes along with management, basically. And for the ABTC, that is architecture. And right, math is I think, do I need to explain what math is? Yeah, well, so the math is, it's basically some engineering math they have to do. And for the furniture making, well, we would teach them how, the first thing we would teach them is to ensure that they come safe they come prepared to operate in a safe work environment, firstly. We teach them how to operate the machines, or how to operate their hand and power tools, right? And you see, the thing is, we might not be able to teach them everything. We would not be able to teach them everything. I would not teach them how to build a bed, but the tools that I give them, the knowledge that I give them, if they put their minds to it, they would be able to build a bed. And of course, the procedures that I would go through, I would explain to them how you would do these different procedures, right? But we teach them more than the basics. As it regards to getting employed, we try to encourage them to be self-employed, right? Because these programs here, it could be very lucrative when you work with yourself.
The best joiners are well known to the community wherever they are.
Right, right.
This is a niche teaching method that you're using. How many students do you find coming on board for this program?
From a lot of, let's say, 20 students, they would have about 12 of them, right, that would want to do this particular program. The other 8 would be maybe another program was full, and then they started it. And but generally what we find is that whoever starts it, they fall in love with it, right? And you could call me old time, but I'm the kind of guy who think that especially our males should know to do these things, using hammers, using saws. When you come to GTI, right, I will teach you, let me put it like this, the correct way to do things. There might be more than one right way. Right, but I will teach you, let's say, the industrial way. What is internationally accepted, right? And the best joiners that I know, right, being the Somersons, my colleague that left us, Mr. Paul Hines, right? They are some of the best joiners. I've never dealt with, let's say, a big industry like Mr. Somerson, but when I see his work, right, I would say, this man went to GTA. I would encourage everyone that is in the furniture making industry to come to GTA. Come to GTA. We outside would only teach you how to get the practical work done. But we would not only teach you that, we'd also teach you to manage, right? We'd also teach you to calculate the material, calculate the pricing, right? From scratch to assembling, right? From beginning to end.
Where are your students coming from, sir? Do you find you coming out of school, or do you find persons walking off the road and just coming? Because the reason why I ask this, I know that GTI has this program that you usually go to schools when students are just about to leave, mm-hmm. and find out their interests, probably tickle their interest into coming on board, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. Is that same practice a part of your program?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, I have a few students, it's three of them that we visited one of the schools. Yeah, and three of them are in the class at the moment. But most of the time, we find that they are from secondary schools, right? And probably 10% of them would not have completed secondary school and just are genuinely just interested in this this field. And those are the students we would have.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How challenging it is for one who has not completed secondary school to successfully complete the program here at GTA?
If someone has not completed secondary school, right, the only challenge you would have is the part where they have to do some reading and some writing. But remember, but with competency base, you could be patient with them. Right, they might not finish as fast as the others in terms of the academic part, but with the practical part, they're on par, right? And one of my main focus is that even if someone is not interested, right, I at least want to ensure that they can do the practical, because even if they drop out, they could still go on. As you would say, catch the hand.
All right, sir. Finally, this is your personal involvement here, being a part of the GTI family as a teacher. You've been doing this, you can probably say to us for many years, but your take on being involved here at this point in time in your life in the career, give us your spin on it.
You know, I wasn't supposed to be teaching. I always pictured myself as someone working in the field. Right, but when I was asked to teach, I realized that this is nice. I like it, right? And imparting knowledge in someone and seeing the product at the end, it's fulfilling. I find it very fulfilling.
At GTI, our BMTD program, it's more geared for the persons who are working, so they would come on one day. So BMTD 1, they would come on Mondays, BMTD 2, they would come on Tuesdays, vice versa for the BMTD 3 and 4. So over the 4 years, when they are finished, they will be equivalent to the persons who have completed a diploma in 2 years. Coming and being a part of the BMTD program, even though it's 4 year, mind you, it's for working persons who can afford only one day to be a GTI, and the remainder days they will be on their jobs. So coming to GTI to do the BMTD, don't have no fear. If you have not done the diploma, you will still be accepted at the university.
Okay. Let's talk about the BM program.
Okay, so the BM program is a 2 year program. This is more focused on persons who are able to come full-time, all right? For this program, we have persons predominantly in the age range of 16 to maybe about 20, mm-hmm. because they can afford to come during the day. These students, they are more geared towards becoming let's say, technician engineers, and they even go on to the university. So normally there's a fear of the math or the mathematics when it comes to the civil engineering programs. But for me, it's common sense. I was a student here at GTI. I didn't graduate with flying colors with math, and I came out third in the class, and I went on to be to getting a distinction at UG. So GTI, for me, the diploma program has enabled me to be shaped into a more prepared individual for UG. Yes, I had some fears in terms of going to UG directly, but having been directed and counseled by my parents and teachers, I decided to join this program. So I am a product of GTI, of the BM program, and it's common sense and passion. You need to love what you're doing. All right. You can't just fear the math or fear the physics, fear the structural mechanics, because yes, BM is a study, or is the study of various structures and how buildings are put together or roads are constructed. You have to love it, have a passion for it, and apply your common sense, and you will go a far way in the program.
When we say BM, to explain what BM means and BMTD, what it means, spell it out for us.
Okay, so we refer to it as BM to say building management, but the correct name, or the name accepted by the government or the Ministry of Education, is a technician diploma in civil engineering. Mm-hmm. All right, so the acronym BM speaks to building management, but we speak more to the technician diploma in building and civil engineering when they would receive their certificate. Yeah,
Gary, your story is one that's very personal, very deep and moving, because you would have had your own personal experience coming through the system and coming back to teach. Tell us, what was that like for you?
Well, I always have a passion to share knowledge, and I didn't look at the money. I didn't look at what status I may have in society. I believe in transcending my knowledge to other persons, and that makes me a better person, because I am able to reinforce what I know. And that's what makes me, or that's what makes me into who I am now as an individual. So coming to GTI, coming back, I was a part-time lecturer initially. And I am now the HOD of the said department that I was a student of. And being a part of this form of revolutionary movement is quite refreshing for me, because I can be able to tell the story to many other that GTI and the BM program is the best move anyone could make. Yeah.
I know GTI goes to schools and try to attract young brains and those young people that are inclined technically. For you stepping into schools when you're a part of that program, what's the feeling like talking to them, trying to encourage them to be a part of the programs here at GTI?
Okay, so first of all, I feel at home. Whenever I enter secondary school, whichever it may be, it could be a community IE-related school or a high-flying school, I feel at home. The responses that we receive from these learners, it's overwhelming. And they would remember you when they come to the interviews. They would tell us directly, our move to come here is as a result of our engagement. So our move to sell the institution to the public is one that is very much marketable to us, because we have seen the overwhelming responses, and the students, they are very thankful for it, because some of them are misguided, misled, because there is a stigma out there that, you know, GTI is a dropout center. They would tell us, and we would accept that, but at the end of the engagement, it's a total different narrative, thinking, and all ideology towards the GTI, and we have seen our influx or input rates over the last 5 years, it has gone up astronomically. Mm-hmm. And we're thankful for that.
Right. Finally, Gary, the ratio of male to female, this is something that seems to be hitting my mind with the volume of females that seem to be wanting to be a part of these programs. Are you seeing in building management many females too coming on board to be a part of it?
Yes. From my experience, when I was a student, I can vividly remember there were about two females in the class. And might I tell you now, there are about 15 females. And might I say, the females are performing very well. At our last graduation, we had a female coming out on top in a male-dominated program. And gender is no barrier, because I see no gender being superior to the other. I try to work with both. The females, they will tell you of their fears and their, you know, hesitations and so forth. But I try to sit them down. I try to even peer them. So what I would do, the second year persons who are more mature, the females, I would peer them with the first year so that they can coach them through and show them, well, you know, listen, you can survive in a male-dominated field. All right. So the females, they don't feel discriminated. And we have never shown them any form of discrimination, whether they have chosen to go into the lowest program in our department or the highest program, which is the BM program.
So what we do in the plumbing, the students come in and they're given safety, the safety aspect of plumbing. We tell them how they can use their PPE, how to be safe on the work site, how to clean their surroundings. So that's the safety aspect of it. Then you have to do some maths or computation, we call it. Then you're given some language, some English, and then we get into the actual plumbing aspect of it. And for the level one, that's basically where they're introduced to the types of fitting, the sizes of pipes, the types of pipes, pasting or methods of joining pipe, where they'll do a little soldering, some cases a little of welding, and they also do where you use the paste to paste the regular PVC pipe. And they also do a bit of, you call it mark off, where they basically come up with templates, and that's where we get to introduce a little of the sheet metal. So they do the basic joining of sheet metal. We have them making pans. Sometimes they make letterbox, or we call it mailbox. So that's the basic for the plumbing department.
Okay. I know, Miss, as it relates to plumbing, back in the day it was more or less galvanized pipes. These days it's PVC. Right. For you being involved in this program for a while, I'm sure probably the galvanized pipes are easier to work with for a teaching program as against the PVC. This is just my question. Help me understand.
No, it's not. PVC is basically replacing most of the pipes, and that's in the Guyana aspect. Yes, we do need to galvanize, but for our purposes, we work mostly with the PVC. We do the pressure, the non-pressure, and we do the CPVC, that's the hot water, right? So in or at GTI, the galvanize isn't mostly done in preferred compared to the PVC.
Okay. But I know plumbing, Miss, seems to be a very populous where everybody thinks he or she is a plumber. And sometimes, because there are so many people out there and they're doing whatever, sometimes they foul up people's work. And you, I guess you, with your expert knowledge, would have to probably advise accordingly, and or have your students that come through your program go and repair some of the work that is being done. This is the question. It therefore, to me, seems critical that people come to GTI and learn the correct way in doing plumbing, as against wasting their clients' money and even fouling up some of the programs and some of the projects that they have.
Yeah, so in plumbing, there are two types. We have the operative and the speculative. Now, from the words, you can tell So what you'll find, you have the operatives, these guys that are skilled, they have to go and most of the times correct the speculative, because anybody can pace a pipe, as you rightly said. So we teach our children, or we try to teach them the basic, you know, of doing good, clean work. You know, when you finish at a client's home, they must be, yes, they must be able to recommend you to others and be pleased with your work. So we teach them, do a good job at first. First impression counts.
Because math is critical to this program.
Yes, it is. And also tools and measurement. One of the units that we do is called graduating use measuring devices. That's where you learn to use your tapes, your rulers, your micrometer, your veneer calipers. So at this stage, and this is one of the starting stage, so at this stage we try to get them to understand how to correctly measure anything that you're doing. Because as you said, anybody can average and all that, but when you can correctly measure a 1/8, a 2/8, a 3/16, you have an advantage above a regular person.
Do you find many students coming to do plumbing? I think this might be the case, but I don't know. I want to find it from you.
I won't say many. We have like 10 to 20. Because as we were saying just now, most of them, they think they're a plumber. So getting the numbers now for them to just come and sit in class for a year, it doesn't happen. Even we have students, they would join and they would do like a couple months and they think they're a plumber. And they would leave to go work with an uncle, a grandfather, because they just think they're ready. So we have some amount, but not as much as we would like.
Okay. Guyana's a fast-paced, changing technology, industrial as well. And I know that as regards to plumbing, which is one of the many trees that we have, certification is going to be critical. So for some of the jobs that people are getting now, probably down the road they may be asked to provide a certificate from a reputable organization or institution like GTI. This may very well find many of our plumbers not being able to be employed.
Yeah, that's correct. So now what we have, you no longer have a teenager. You'll have like a 30-year-old come in because he needs a job with a particular company and he has to show the certification. So you'll find him, he'll come at that stage and he's going to sit through a class because he understands that he needs certification. So you'll have that aspect there to compare to the younger ones, you know, not to wait until you're at this stage. You do it now and it's going to be better for you.
Finally, Miss, how long you been involved in this, and tell us how you got involved in teaching plumbing in the first place.
All right, so I've been working here 18 years now. I started as a technician. I did the plumbing course, and then I was asked to be the technician. And then eventually I was asked to be a lecturer. And when I was younger, I always wanted to be a teacher. That's my dream job. So sometimes when I'm thinking about doing another job, I quickly remind myself, hello, you're doing your dream job, which is to be a teacher. So that's why I love being a teacher. It's not just about a thing that I decided along the year or was forced upon me. I'm doing my dream job and I love it.
Okay. And being a part of the GTI family, tell us about that.
Oh, that's great. Working at GTI is the best thing ever. You know, our staff would say there's no place like GTI. We're comfortable. Yeah, like any household, we get our ups and our downs, but at the end of the day, we're family. We're willing to forgive and move on. And that's what makes it worthwhile working here. And if you check our staff, we have a lot of them who are working for a number of years. We rarely have people leave. Yeah, you have that among that would leave. But at GTI, we're a family and we love working with each other.
Okay. And finally, Miss, would you invite youngsters that are involved in this plumbing or people that are generally involved in plumbing to come on board, come to GTI and get the requisite training for this plumbing trade?
Yes, I would. And I would also encourage the daddies and the uncles and the grandpas to encourage their children to come to the Government Technical Institute, because they're going to learn lifelong skills that when they are ready now to transition, their capable child or grandchild can take over this job for them. And they won't have to worry because my student or my child went to GTI, so I can just relax in my old age now.
At the GTI, with the General Construction Department, we do a lot of concrete work or mason work. We did a lot of carpentry, plumbing, electrical, mostly theory. No big set of practical in electrical. And we deal with drawings. We deal with things like estimating quantities, right? The students get to go out and do first-hand measuring and calculating. There's a unit called measurements and calculations. I'm responsible solely for that. So the students are able to go out and they're able to measure something that is not existing fully yet and then come back and draw it and then calculate it and everything and then go out and actually build it, right, from start to finish, right? So that is basically it. They got other units like safety, which is a big man right now, since Exxon is a very big man now. So we got other lecturers teaching the safety. I normally tell my students I don't teach safety, but I enforce safety. So my duty is to make sure that you do what is right in terms of having your right PPE and all the basic stuff that is needed for that. Yeah.
General construction, sir, is huge because, especially given the fact that Guyana is involved in a huge construction boom, and we've been having a large construction for quite a while in Guyana. Hence your program, which I find very critical for persons getting involved in the industrial boom that is happening in Guyana. What's the student intake like for general construction?
Right now, we've had last September gone, I think, 48 or somewhere around 45 to 48, right? And strange enough, most of them is still here. Normally after school sports, we normally say some students come just for the school sports, like back in the 90s. But we'll find this batch of students that we got in here now, they're here and they're working. If you had came yesterday, you could have captured a few pictures with them literally working, mixing concrete with the ransom, transporting, placing. We did some paving and walkways yesterday. So it's good. And the students are here and they're working, right? They're working, they're really doing the stuff. They finished building an entire sanitary block, we would call it a female washroom, from excavation, sand fill, everything to roof. They also did the plans, they did the quantities for it. And this is a first-year general construction class, right? So it's good. I normally advise persons in the world that are in the building industry to come and do general construction. Because a lot of persons might be able to do the actual job, but to do the calculations and to read a plan and to understand a plan, we got another unit called reading and interpreting of simple drawings and stuff like that. So they get a chance to do that also. So if you come from the building industry and you enter GTI at a general construction level, which is basically craft level, you can go out back and perform. Because a lot of contractors can calculate. A lot of tradesmen can calculate. If you show them an area and you say, tell me how much blocks you need for this, they can't tell you how much blocks they need for it. So when you do the general construction program, you're able to calculate for the amount of blocks, even draw the plan for it, and also build, plaster, everything. So it's wonderful.
Your program, sir, is all-inclusive. It speaks to every aspect of general construction, making somebody rounded at the end of it. You just alluded to the point that once one would have graduated and completed the program, he or she would be ready to do any form of construction. Oh, as it relates to construction, I know the women are blowing many of the generally traditional programs that men alone were doing. We see women getting involved. Do you see that in your program as well?
Yeah. Actually, 2 weeks ago, we had a graduation at the Culture Center, and the person that topped the general construction class is a female God bless student. She's good with the practical and the theory, and she never absent for the entire school year. She's there, she's coming and questioning you and going out and seeing stuff on the road and taking pictures, and even Saturday and Sundays she would, sir, check this out here, so tell me what you think about this. these people doing something wrong. Tell me, like, though, she's that kind of aggressive. Right now, she just finished the general construction, and she's in the civil engineer now. There's a transition. So general construction is basically like the stepping stool to get into civil engineer or civil construction. Mm-hmm. Right? So we got a lot of females. There's another four females in the class right now, the new class right now, and they're tearing up it. They're making the young men look like stupidness. And it's cross the board in the technical fields. It's cross the board right now. The females are more aggressive. Yeah, because we're supposed to be having a jail of all trades, I think, come next month. And I am accumulating videos to put on it. Strictly females working. Whether it be plastering, tiling, painting, plumbing, strictly females. Like that. So the females are doing real good. They're doing better than the men, most males. Mm-hmm. I can tell you though. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interestingly too, sir, general construction, it's really great that you mentioned that just now, that it's a springboard to tertiary education. You can do civil engineering, civil construction. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the civil construction class that I normally teach, part one and part of part two, the first year in part two, there's a building and civil construction. We call it BMTD, right? I did it myself back in the days, in the 90s. I did the same general construction that it was masonry, and now it's general construction. So I did the masonry, then I did the BMTD. Now the BMTD course is basically geared for artisans, tradesmen, men that are already in building industry, and they might be in a supervisor position, a foreman, a trades foreman, a clerk of works, stuff like that. So when you finish the building and civil construction program, you can go right in on a form and work as a clerk of works, work of a trades foreman, an architect, stuff like that. So the BMTD program, it is wonderful. I advise persons that are already in the industry and you got a CXC or equivalent, come and do the BMTD program. It pays well. And you can be employed all over the world. Right, yeah.
You have a good story, sir. Just like I found out with other lectures where private sector and public sector organizations are coming on board and asking for students that are doing well in the program and they're getting readily jobs.
Yeah, they're rushing here for students. And I discovered something recently. The government is not giving out certain contracts unless you have somebody with a technical background as your engineer, not just somebody straight out of UG, but somebody that passed through GTIE and end up at UG. So when they employ you, even here they're coming and asking, recommend somebody. What I normally do is keep a list of past students and the numbers and everything. So when somebody needs somebody, I can recommend somebody right away for you.
Finally, sir, tell us about your teaching career. It seems as though you've been at this for many, many years and you've had an enjoyable career. Tell us about your teaching career and probably some of the really good stories during your teaching career.
I'm lecturing here 24 years. I'm here this year will be 31 years, 7 years studying as a student and then lecturing, right? And it's been a good journey for me. Outside of being a lecturer at GTIE, I'm also a contractor. So I normally do most of the work around the compound. So even though you're here lecturing, you're doing jobs around the compound, the students are getting a chance to learn. I normally say in my department, you learn and earn. Right, so that gives me great satisfaction to know that you're teaching and you're not only teaching stuff to build and break back. Most of what I do, I normally do it permanent. It's permanent structures. I don't normally do temporary work. So when my students are in the class, they get a chance to do forced hands-on jobs. So there's no chance to correct it. You got to get it right one time. So I enjoy that. I enjoy coming to GTIE, I look forward to coming to GTIE. People now say, like, you're living here. I'm here, like, Sunday to Sunday, actually.
We just heard there, lecturers of the building department.